grateful to Kerry and to Errol for helping to stand in. And the Lord has laid the message on my heart tonight, so I want to deliver it, however long or short it may be. And it's a message addressed to Andrew, but I trust it will be applicable to us all as believers. And it's in Joshua chapter 1. If you listened carefully to the reading, you would have come across a phrase, verse 6, be strong and of good courage. Verse 7, only be strong and very courageous. Verse 9 sounds familiar. Have I not commanded you, be strong and of a good courage? Do not be afraid, nor be dismayed. And just in case we didn't quite get it, the chapter ends with the words, only be strong and of a good courage. And these words were addressed primarily to God's servant, Joshua, who had a far more difficult charge than any young man going into the ministry. He had to succeed Moses, and he was going to do something that not even Moses had the privilege of doing, lead God's people into the promised land. How Joshua must have felt. He would have thought, this is not for me. But God meets with him, and God says, I've called you, and I want you to be strong in me. And here tonight we are gathered to acknowledge God calling one of our young people into the ministry of the word. By God's grace, I've been 16 years in the ministry, and it's only because of him that I'm still here. I don't know if I've quoted it before, but we have a Welsh folk singer called Dafydd Iwan, and his most famous song is Inni Yma O Hyd. We're still here. Er gwaetha pawb a popeth, Inni Yma O Hyd. In spite of everything and everybody, we're still here. And that is the grace that the Lord can give to you, Andrew, and to each one of us as we seek to follow the Lord. It's in him that we are strong, not in ourselves. Be strong, said Paul to the Ephesians, in the Lord and in the power of his might. Or when we sang that hymn, when we have exhausted our store of endurance. How big is your store of endurance tonight? Some of you may think that you've got a big stock. My friend, that's going to be whittled down. Others may think that they haven't got anything. But it doesn't matter. When we have exhausted our store of endurance, and the quicker we get there, the better. When our strength has failed, ere the day is half done. It's all right when you're young, but when you get into middle-aged, it feels as if the day is truly half done. It doesn't matter. When we reach the end of our hoarded resources, our Father's full giving has only begun. And that's what I want to encourage Andrew and every one of us here tonight. Be strong and of a good courage. How can I be strong and of a good courage? Like Joshua, I don't know what's in the future. Things may go from bad to worse in the Christian life. It doesn't matter, because God is the source of our strength. The fullest of those mottos is in verse 9. Be strong and of a good courage. Do not be afraid nor be dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. What does it matter if the opposition is so much greater than we are? Are they greater than our God? Of course they're not. Our God is infinite. And it doesn't matter how apathetic, how much against the gospel our age may be, they're no match for the Lord, the commander of the armies of the Lord, the one that Joshua was in communion with. I know you've been to Bible college, but I'll never forget reading in Tozer what Tozer said to one of his young men going into Bible college. I'm not going to do an impression of Tozer. He was very folksy in his style. And he said to this young man, well, when you get to Bible college, you'll have long discussions into the early hours on thatism and thatism. And you'll all be falling out with one another over all those things. My boy, you just go into your room and shut the door and get down on your knees and see God. Meet with God. That's the source of strength. You know, the Christian ministry and the Christian life is a long-distant race. It's not a sprint, but a marathon. And if you're running long distance, you've got to breathe properly, you know? You've got to have a rhythmic breathing. Whenever I go jogging and I don't breathe properly, I have a stitch. And the best way to alleviate that is to start breathing properly, which usually means singing. But I'm not going to do that now. Breathe properly. What is the Christian's breath, you ask? Well, prayer. Prayer is the Christian's vital breath. That's what Tozer was encouraging that young man to do. And we're not just thinking now of times of prayer. It is simply this expression of utter dependence on our God. Lord, we're saying in prayer, even if it's not speaking out loud, it's an attitude. Lord, I dare not take a step unless thou show the way. Lord, I'm utterly dependent on you. In the words of William Williams Pantycelyn, I am weak, but thou art mighty. Hold me by thy powerful hand. Never neglect prayer. May I never neglect that. May every one of us here be men and women of prayer. Prayer is the Christian life. It's not a little attachment. It's the very heart of our religion. So that's the first thing. Just as you have to breathe properly and rhythmically, so as believers, we need to live in the atmosphere of prayer. You know, we can't dictate to the Lord in prayer. I find it quite amusing sometimes how people in prayer tell God what he already knows about. You know, he already knows about what is happening. He is the one who's in control. What we're doing in prayer is worshipping and bringing our needs and giving thanks. I just want to quote this. Is it Fanny Crosby? No, it's John Henry Sammis. Do you know this? What he says, we will do. Where he sends, we will go. Of course, London is a great city. Samuel Johnson said, he who is tired of London is tired of life. But in the most important sense, it's God going before us that matters. I've shared this before. When I was feeling called to the ministry, I didn't pray this out loud, but I had a secret prayer. Lord, please, I'm willing to go anywhere, but not Lincolnshire. No, it's so flat. But I had to come to that place where I said, Lord, wherever you send me, I will go. And even Lincolnshire can be a blessed place if you are there with me. And that is what will make you a ministry. It's not the blessedness of the place, but the one who's going to be there with you. And wherever we find ourselves in, I don't know what your situation is at this moment. Kerry, in his prayer, mentioned people who are going through difficulties. Oh, my friend, if you have the Lord with you in the midst of that storm, it doesn't matter. With Christ in the vessel, we'll smile at the storm. And it doesn't matter if you feel yourself to be in a prison. That prison can be an annex to heaven if God is there in his known and felt presence. I loved what one of the Puritans said. Lord, he said, sometimes I don't know where I'm going. I don't know where you're taking me. But it doesn't matter because I know you're with me. I know with whom I am going. There it is. So that's the first thing. Be strong, every one of us, in the Lord. And we express that in prayer. But let's be a bit more practical. How do we go about doing that? Look at verse 7. Only be strong and very courageous, that you may observe to do according to all the law which Moses my servant commanded you. What else do we need to do in order to be strong? Well, as I have several people say to me, eat properly. Are you eating properly? If you're not eating properly in the physical realm, you're going to faint. And it's so much more true spiritually. Have you had a good meal spiritually? God's law here isn't just the Ten Commandments. It includes that. But when you come across the phrase, God's law in the Old Testament, we sang Psalm 19 this morning, God's law is perfect. What is it? It's the word of God. It's the manifestation, the revelation of God's will. And if we want to endure in the ministry, in the Christian life, then prayer is only half the answer. We must also feed. And what I'm talking about here is not spiritual fast food. This is a chicken dinner. Spiritually, a round meal, maybe for some of us, a biryani, a Hyderabad biryani, not just any biryani. Are we wanting to feed on the word? Now, here I am preaching to myself, because the temptation in the ministry, because you're a minister of the word, is that you deal with the word as part of your job. And you only go to the word to look for texts, for sermons. I'm certainly speaking of myself. Oh, may the Lord keep you from that, Andrew. And may we first keep watch over ourselves and then our ministry. That we come to this word, yes, to find text, but before that, to find the Lord. Who was it who wrote? Is it Cooper? Beyond the sacred page, we seek thee, Lord, thee. This isn't just a textbook. I've got some excellent study Bibles. John MacArthur study Bible, superb, superb. But that's not enough. I need to get beyond that. I must have a sight of my Saviour in the word. You know, Christ is the key that unlocks even the hardest passage of scripture. There's an account of Christmas Evans, that great 19th century Baptist Welsh preacher. He was preparing a sermon and he had all his commentaries around and he couldn't get to the text. He couldn't get the meaning. He picked one commentator up. He picked another up. His wife came in and brought him a cup of tea. He picked that up thinking it was a commentary. He was going nowhere. And do you know what he did? He shut all his commentaries and he got on his knees and he prayed, Lord, speak to me. Show me the Saviour. And that's what the Lord did. Commentaries are helpful. And I know you have a gift in the original languages and that's a great, great help. But the author of the scripture is the Holy Spirit. And the best way to get deep into the word is to ask the Spirit to open our eyes. And look at I like the gradation here. The law, verse 7. This book of the law, verse 8, shall not depart from your mouth. So we must read it. But you shall meditate in it day and night. Now what's that? It's not enough just to study the word and to hear the word. What do you do if you get a good meal? You don't just quickly eat it. What do? You chew it. Do you do that? You chew it. And that's meditation. During the day, you mull over the passage. It's like some of these lozenges you have. As you suck them, you get all the goodness out of them going into your system. And then what happens? Oh, it's wonderful. As the word touches our hearts, we're moved then to obey it. This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth. That's the first thing. But you shall meditate in it. That's a bit deeper, day and night. And then it goes even deeper, that you may observe to do according to all that is written in it. For then you will make your way prosperous. People will see a naturalness about our Christianity. We will have the word of God in us. It was said of John Bunyan, if you pricked him anywhere, the blood that would come out would be bibline blood. The great Professor John Murray of Westminster Seminary, when he prayed, his own prayers were so suffused with scripture, people couldn't tell the difference. I like that. We become biblical in every sense of the word, whatever situation we find ourselves in. We begin to think as Christ would think. But it's not just a textbook, it's him in the word. Oh, there's a place I sometimes preach in, it's got a notice in the pulpit. Sir, we desire to see Jesus. And as we feed in the word, and as we're spoken to in the word, do you know what happens then? Do you know what happens? Lord, speak to me that I may speak in living echoes of thy voice. People hear through us those echoes of Jesus Christ. You know, people sense authenticity, don't they? Reality, reality. We can only preach what we have experienced. As I come to a conclusion, this chapter ends with the same motto, only be strong and of a good courage. It's not the Lord who speaks that, it's the people. So what's happened is this: God has encouraged Joshua. Joshua has met with the Lord. And through that, the people have been spoken to and encouraged. And because they have been blessed, they then return the encouragement. So Joshua, isn't that wonderful? It's not a vicious circle, it's the opposite of a vicious circle. It's a blessed, blessed circle. I know we're a very subdued congregation here, but I was brought up in Welsh evangelicalism as a Christian. Not brought up as a child, but brought up as a newborn spiritual child. And in our Welsh evangelicalism, you'd have these people shouting out, Amen! Gogoniant, glory. Diolch iddo, thanks be to him. And you see what's happening. As God is speaking through the preacher and speaking to people's hearts, they then are encouraging the preacher by responding back. And it's a lovely thing. It's kind of a snowball effect. Now, I know that many of you here tonight, you're not saying aloud amen. But I trust there's an amen in the hearts. I'm sure there is. And to me, that's the essence of the ministry of the word. We hear a lot today about everybody getting involved in the service. You know what? If God is speaking through the preacher, because the preacher has met with the Lord, and the people then are being spoken to and are encouraging the preacher, everybody's involved. Preaching is a two-way activity. And if you've been touched and then go out into the world, the sermon hasn't stopped. It's going to be lived out during the rest of the week. Isn't that what Christianity really is all about? It's not something for one day a week. It's a way of living. Well, Andrew, and every one of us, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. And may God meet with you in your study, so that when you stand before the people, may you bring something of Christ into their midst. And not just in the pulpit, but in the visiting, may there be an aroma of Jesus Christ. And may every one of us be strong in the same God. Let me quote Spurgeon as I come to a conclusion. We've all heard of Spurgeon, I'm sure. When Spurgeon met people, do you know what he said in order to encourage them? It's so honest, but it's so comforting. Do you know what he said? Keep on keeping on. Keep on keeping on. Some are nearer the finishing line than others. But it doesn't matter how long we've got left, because the Lord has determined our time. And he will strengthen us. He will keep us. Only be strong in him. For his name's sake. Amen.